is God's providence and the boomerang effect. Now, this message has declarations and decrees in it, which fits as Don passed out the declaration and decree for you. So today we will be looking at the book of Esther. And so if you want to turn to Esther, that would be wonderful. And so this is where the celebration of Purim comes from. And it tells the wonderful story of God's deliverance and provision for the Jewish people, saving them from the plot to destroy the Jews. This year, Purim starts at sundown on Thursday, March 13th, and goes through sundown on March 14th. When God makes a promise, we know that we can trust him simply because he is faithful and always keeps his word. He is the rock, the faithful God who does no wrong. Each of us has been afraid at one time or another, which makes it easy to forget that God is still in control and promises to rescue us. So even though God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther, does not mean that God is not involved. Those who thought they were far from God will find that they are still under his care, and we are forced to take action. God remains faithful and in sovereign control, even when we have not been faithful to him. Sovereign means God is paramount, supreme. He has supreme rank or power, unsurpassed, excellent. He has supremacy of authority and power. Providence means foresight and divine direction. God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us no matter what is going on in our lives. Help us to focus on who you are and that your plan for us is for good and not evil. Even when we don't see that you are still at work in our lives, comfort is ours because Jesus has won the victory. Lead us this morning as we focus on your word. Amen. The book of Esther tells the story of God's involvement with his people, and it clearly demonstrates how God works deliverance in the lives of his people, both in the Old Testament and in our times today. Had the events of this book not occurred, the Jewish people would have been annihilated, and the chain of events leading to the birth of Jesus would have been broken. So there's five main characters or persons involved in the story. There's the Persian king Xerxes. Now that's his Greek name. Depending on your Bible, you might have a Persian one or his Hebrew name. Haman, his prime minister, and a very wicked man. Vashti, the queen, before Esther. Esther, Hadassah, is her Hebrew name. The beautiful Jewish girl who became queen. And Mordecai, Esther's cousin, who adopted her as his own daughter and brought her up after her parents had died. So the events of Esther happened about 21 years before Ezra led the second group of exiles to Jerusalem and falls between Ezra 6 and 7. It also took place 30 years before Nehemiah's journey back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. Babylon was a Gentile world power that led many Jews into captivity. The Persian Empire conquered Babel, and King Cyrus decreed that the Jews could return home. But many of the Jews stayed and were spread out through the entire Persian Empire. Persia is modern-day Iran, so that gives you a perspective as to where it is. But it was bigger. It had many more provinces and territories. It was so big it actually had four capitals. And the story takes place that we're going to read today in the capital city of Susa. And it was ruled by Xerxes. Now we're going to begin by, keep your hand in Esther, but we're going to read Genesis 12, 2 and 3. And the reason we're going to read this is to show that God's providence and his truth remains always. And this, in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, is the Abrahamic covenant, which is God's faithful promise to his covenant people. And it still stands today, so we need to remember. Beginning at verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So the main lesson is always found in God's faithfulness. The message is that God partners with his people to protect his chosen people, and that Christians today might be called upon to stand with the Jews whenever we see anti-Semitic behavior. Point number one, God protects his people. He is the God of the impossible. God's people have always known persecution because we live in a world where so many oppose God and his purposes. In the book of Esther, we see a behind-the-scenes picture of Satan's plan to destroy the Jewish nation before the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. If God had not delivered his people from Haman's plan to destroy the Jews, Jesus would never have been born. God always has a purpose. He prepared a way for the coming Savior. It would be good for you to read the entire 10 chapters of Esther in your devotion time, but I will give you an overview of the events that took place. And I can't do all of it, and I left out some really sweet nuggets. So I hope you do go and read it this week. So the story begins when Esther, a beautiful young Jewish woman, is chosen by King Xerxes as the new queen after Queen Vashti had refused to come to the king's banquet to display her beauty to the men who were in attendance at a huge party where they were drinking for 7 straight days. I don't think I would have wanted to go to that party either. But this made the king to look very bad to his people. So Queen Vashti was banished. The king's servants searched the entire kingdom for the most beautiful woman to become queen. Esther is selected, but the king is unaware that she is Jewish. Darkness begins with pride and hatred. Haman is the villain of the story and is a picture or a type of the coming Antichrist. Haman is a high-ranking government official who detests Mordecai because of his refusal to bow down to him. Haman convinces the king that the Jewish people pose a security threat to the empire and should be annihilated. The king agrees and passes a law requiring that every Jew in the kingdom be put to death. God's presence always exposes the darkness. God's providence uses Esther to prevent King Xerxes from carrying out his decree to kill all the Jewish people that were completely throughout the kingdom, and there was a lot. You know, the kingdom of Persia, which is Iran today, also at the period of this, Israel was involved in this grouping. So Mordecai, Esther's uncle, saw what was going on, and he knew that Esther was the only one who could help. So we're going to look at Esther chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Esther trusts God completely, and she realizes that she alone is in a position to help. This is also the most well-known scripture in the book of Esther and is quoted many times by many people. Beginning at verse 12 of chapter 4. When Esther heard words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back the answer, "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." So Esther is willing to put her own life at risk. After asking Mordecai to proclaim a 3-day fast for the entire Jewish empire, including the promise that her maids would also fast, she meets with the king and exposes Haman and the death plot of hatred. The Jewish exiles are saved. Esther remains queen, and Mordecai is offered Haman's job after this evil man has been executed on the very gallows he had built for Mordecai. Now, when we think of gallows and hanging on the gallows, we think of hanging by the neck, but actually, they impaled them. That's as much as I'm going to say about that. That is so horrific. So the Feast of Purim is the story of how God delivered his people. The date that was chosen for the annihilation of the Jews was chosen by the casting of lots, or Purim. Haman devised an evil plan to set the exact time to destroy all the Jews. He cast the lot, the pur, which is a type of dice, to make decisions and to set the date of destruction. So let's see an important date when the lot was cast. Esther chapter 3, verse 7 tells us it was in the month of Nisan, which ironically, the decree was set on Passover. You know, we just celebrated Ash Wednesday. And so March, April is in the month of Nisan in the Hebrew. So this plot, the dice were thrown on Passover, which gives us a picture of the cross of Christ when he became our Passover lamb and took our sins on the cross. So verse 7 says, in the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, they cast the lot, in the presence of Haman to select a day and a month. And the lot fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar. So nearly a year passed before the execution of the plan that was to take place, which gave Mordecai and Esther time under God's providence to counter Haman's evil plot. So he threw the dice on Passover, and then the dice showed them when the executions were to take place. So even today, the Jewish people celebrate the Feast of Purim to commemorate God's deliverance from Haman. It is a time of feasting and of great joy. And I would have loved to have followed through with some of the things that they do. They actually dress up. People dress up as Esther. They dress up as the king. They dress up as Haman or Mordecai. And they come, and as the story is read, whenever the name Haman is said, they boo! But every time Mordecai's name is said, they go, yay, woo! So wouldn't it have been fun today to do that? I would have loved to have done that. We just don't have enough time. So point number two, God's providence is everywhere. So the selection of Esther, a young Jewish virgin, is selected as the new queen of Persia. It was God's providence that Mordecai, Esther's cousin, who had adopted her when she was orphaned, uncovered an assassination plot against the king, and he exposed it, saving the king's life. The deed had been recorded in the king's chronicles. The king discovered what Mordecai had done for him during one sleepless night to bring about the exaltation of Mordecai above his enemy Haman. He couldn't sleep, so he had the chronicles brought to him. I'm sure that would have been a boring thing in a way. Would make anybody go to sleep. But the king, when he read that, became so thrilled. He desired to honor Mordecai at the very exact moment that Haman entered. Haman thought he was going to be the one honored. But he was the one that had to lead Mordecai through the city streets declaring that Mordecai was the king's delight. Haman's hatred of Mordecai was extended to all Jews. He plotted to alienate all Jews on the 13th of Adar. So Mordecai asked Esther to speak to the king on behalf of the Jews. So after a 3-day fast, Esther approached the throne uninvited, which was against Persian policy. and was a risk to death if you were not asked to come before the king. You were and not received. That was the end of your life. So Esther receives the king's favor and exposes Haman's plot. And the king hung Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. And a second decree is sent out, and the Jews triumph over their enemies. Triumph always brings celebration. The annual Feast of Purim celebrates each year the deliverance of the Jews. The tables are turned as the Jews gain power over their enemies. The boomerang effect comes into play when the evil planned against you becomes your reward. So we're going to read some excerpts from Esther chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 4, 13, 17, and then 23 through 26. So verse 4. Mordecai was prominent in the palace. His reputation spread throughout the provinces, and he became more and more powerful. Verse 13, if it pleases the king, Esther answered, give the Jews in Susa permission to carry out this day the edict tomorrow also, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. This happened in verse 17 we're reading. This happened on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and the 14th they rested and made it a day of feasting and joy. And then verses 23 through 26. So the Jews agreed to continue the celebration they had begun, doing what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, son of Hammedath, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast the pur, that is the lot, for their ruin and destruction. But when the plot came to the king's attention, he issued written orders that the evil schemes Haman had devoted against the Jews should come back onto his own head, and he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, these days are called Purim, from the word pur. Because of everything in this letter, and because of what he had seen, and what had it happened to them. Now Mordecai the Jew becomes second in command to Xerxes, and he received all of Haman's property. Point number 3, God's providence works through people. Queen Vashti refused to go to the king's party, and she lost her crown. King Xerxes appointed Esther as queen, and it illustrates how God can turn the hearts of sinful people to fulfill his purposes. It was about 5 years later, God used the free decisions of those involved to protect his people. Did you know that the number 5 is the number of grace? So whenever you see 5, you know that it's God's grace that has come to rescue you. Esther did not become prideful because of her status as queen, and she listened to Mordecai's advice. She had a true spirit of meekness, humility, and submissiveness to her faith in God. Mordecai would not kneel down before Haman because of his loyalty to God. Just as the three Hebrew young men would not bow to the image of gold and were thrown into the fiery furnace, as we read in the book of Daniel. He was a Jew, and it meant something to him to not bow down to any human or idol. Haman was the prime minister of Persia, and he is the first political figure in the Bible to devise a sinister plan for exterminating the Jews. Because of one man's hatred of the Jews, we can see a picture of the Antichrist in parallel also to Antiochus Epiphanes' plot, in Adolf Hitler, in his plans to kill every Jew, and in the Islamic terrorism that we see today. So one day, and I'm thinking it's not too far off, the Antichrist will come in all of his fury to destroy both Jews and Christians. Haman's recognized something different in the Jews, and he hated them for it. So, point number four, how can we apply this to our daily lives? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now we know that when Jesus took our sins on the cross, his blood began a new covenant. And God still wants his people to be separated from the world. He doesn't want a church who bends their rules to agree with worldly things. He wants a body of believers who stand in truth and faith no matter what. So the verse in 1 Peter 2:9 reads, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Likewise, today, the world will hate God's people because they are different, holy, and righteous. And in Romans chapter 8, 28 through 30, these verses inform us that God is involved in the events of the world to save his people from its evil and to accomplish his redemptive purposes on their behalf. So beginning at verse 28 of Romans chapter 8, "And we know that in all things," how many things? How many? All things. "God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So for those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So Esther was willing to give her life in an attempt to save her people. She would do what is right and leave the rest to God. God will not honor those who remain silent to protect their place or position, but he will honor those who, for the sake of God and his word, speak truth in the face of danger. Mordecai and Esther were willing to die in the battle against an evil man and an evil plan. They are examples of people of great faith and integrity who do not compromise or bend under the pressure of evil intimidation, no matter what the cost. In God's sight, greatness is never found in riches or power or position, but in faithfulness, commitment to Him, and to pursuit of righteousness. Those are the goals we should have on earth. God does not usually save people apart from their faithful participation. Yet He is constantly at work with them, working out their deliverance. Israel's deliverance was the result of the combined activity of both God and believers. Purim reminds us that God can overrule the laws of chance. God's people should never see themselves as victims or the fate or chance. God has a wonderful plan for each of our lives, a plan that fits in with His great plan of His redemption that we just need to receive. But we must take our stand in righteousness and win some way, as did Mordecai and Esther. So Esther's decision is similar to the one Jesus would make years later. Motivated by His love for us, our Savior became our representative in the courtroom of heaven, in front of a holy God. It cost Him His life to save us from perishing. It seemed impossible for fallen humanity to gain pardon from an offended God. But Jesus accomplished just that when He rose from the dead and proved it. Just as Haman was publicly humiliated and destroyed, so Jesus disarmed the powers and authority of His enemy, Satan, and the fallen angels, the demonic world. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So God specializes in the impossible. It's as a means of demonstrating to us who He is. When Mary was chosen to give birth to God's Son, she asked, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And God's angel reminded her that nothing is impossible with God. And even in Persia, God was watching out over His people, quietly setting in all the pieces in place for deliverance, and He was watching out for them, even though there had been government edicts and all the hatred that Haman could muster that could not foil God's plan. Hallelujah. God always has a plan. He always will look out for us. He will always bring deliverance. We just need to believe. So the next time you are afraid for any reason, think about who God is. He is good. He loves you. And He is in control, even when you can't see Him at work. Comfort is ours because Jesus has won the victory. And those who belong to Him are safe and secure. because no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for never giving up on us. You loved us so much that you are willing to send your one and only begotten Son to pay the penalty for our sins. Forgive me for looking at the circumstances around me and taking my eyes off of you. I recommit my life to you. You are always in control. In Jesus' name we pray and agree. Amen. Have a great week. I hope this prayer of confessions will be a good tool for you. I know when I was reading it, the Holy Spirit unctioned me. And so we decided to order these for you. So declare and decree the word of God and believe it. In Jesus' name. Have a great week.